Back in Proverbs 21 tonight. You'll recall a couple weeks ago, last week was something. The week before that, we started a kind of a two-parter here. Proverbs 21, I'm going to spend just a couple minutes reviewing what we talked about and then go on with the remainder. But Proverbs chapter 21, and going down to verse 16, just one verse on this. You're going to need your Bible tonight once again. But it says, "The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead." So we can stop there and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for a good morning this morning. Some visitors here. And we know that there's some folks gone today all day with some illness and stuff. Pray you'd be with them, Father. Get them back on their feet. We have this happen all the time. I pray you'd keep us away from any more serious things, Lord. Pray for COVID to die out and go away. Lord, we pray that you'll bless as we contemplate these things tonight. May you give us understanding as we approach something from a different angle than we'd thought about it before. We pray about that in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, so in verse 16, "A man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead." Talking about wandering out of the way of understanding. So again, we started this a couple weeks ago, and so this is the kind of a continuation. And I said, you know, we have a bent for wandering. It's just the way we are. It's part of the old nature's circuitry, the old man. There's a part of you that doesn't want to wander anymore, but there is still that proclivity. And all you have to do to prove that is just live with yourself for a week or so. So it's pretty much the way it goes, right? Wandering can be dangerous. Anybody knows. As I said last time, that a kid, you know, a toddler can cover a lot of ground pretty quick when they are of a mind to and when there's enough mischief to get into. And you know how that goes, but it can be dangerous. Can also be aggravating. I told the story about how most men here know that when you take your wife to Walmart, especially a super Walmart, or to a bigger store, all you have to do is look away for a moment and she disappears into vapor. She's gone, and you can't find her, so you might as well go sit down and just chill, because she'll come find you when she's ready. But she's gone, and you can walk down every aisle, and you'll never see her. She's gone. It's aggravating. So I'd like to say that it can be aggravating for the Lord with you wandering, okay? And the other thing is, it's an incessant battle. There's just unrelenting consistency to it. No matter how good you're doing after tonight, in the morning there's a temptation to let down. If you're not careful, everybody's just a half a step away from a really bad Monday, even though you had a good Sunday. It's the way things go. I'm a preacher. How many times I've gone home on Sunday night and gone, "Wow, it's over." Get up the next morning, and before lunch, I'm in trouble because I've relaxed too much. It's the way we are. It's wandering. It's meandering. It's just ambling off and getting off into stuff, the thorns and stuff that you ought not to do that. It says, "He that wandereth out of the way of understanding." Understanding has a certain way. If you want to follow the course of the Mississippi River, you don't go to Utah, because the Mississippi has a course and it doesn't pass through Utah. And so the way of understanding is a road. It's a way. I think of it as between two ditches. If you don't stay between the ditches, you're out of the way, right? And it's pretty easy to get off into that. So it's out of the way of understanding. It's a recipe. Furthermore, in verse 16, "He that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead." And so lost people do that, right? But I think it's also, like I said, maybe applicable to Our day, when you know a lot of Christians that are pretty dead in spirit, and a lot of the reasons why is because they are not in the way of understanding. They don't have a Bible. They don't have a Bible preaching church to go to. They may be Christian or not, but the simple fact is you're flirting with spiritual death in the sense of deadness. I'm not talking about losing your salvation, but in the sense of deadness if you wander out of the way of understanding. It says, he that wandereth out of the way of understanding, shall remain in the congregation of the dead. So last time we covered several things. I'm just going to hit them real fast. First guy you find in the Bible that had understanding, he was Bezalel. He was the artificer that the Lord gave special wisdom and gave special, said it gave him understanding to be able to do all that he did with the furniture and all the vessels of the tabernacle. So he's working with all this gold and silver and brass out in the middle of nowhere. He doesn't have all of the normal tools and conveniences of a blacksmith, so he has to figure out another way, and the God gave him a special understanding to do that. What it said of him was that God filled him with his spirit. And so that's what I clung to. First of all, don't wander. Be filled with the Spirit. Bible tells you how to do it. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Stay in the Bible. Stay in prayer. Stay in church. Stay in contact with God. Don't wander off. Be filled with the Spirit. That's the first thing. It says in Job chapter 12, that in length of days is understanding. So it's experience, but you shouldn't consider this to be a short course. It's going to take some time for you to gather some spiritual experience as reflected in the Bible. You're not going to get it overnight, and you're going to have to stay after it. You're going to have to learn lessons from it. Most folks don't even learn lessons. They just keep barreling forward, blind as a couple of bats, and they just continue to make the same mistakes. Lord keeps whipping them, and they don't get it. They don't get it. But the Bible says that in length of days is understanding. So go into it. You're in it for the long haul. It's a long run. It's a long pull. Learn your lessons. Stay faithful. It's going to take a long time for you to reach the end of this thing. It's not something you can achieve in a week or a month. Furthermore, Job 28 says, to depart from evil is understanding. So, duh, depart from evil. Do right. Quit doing wrong. It's as simple as that. If you're flirting with sin, you're flirting with losing something very valuable. You're wandering out of the way of understanding. You want to understand some things. By the time you reach midlife or late life or something, if you're not careful, you wander off. And because nowadays Christians aren't even taught to love what's right and to get away from what's wrong, you're flirting, you're wandering, you're meandering, you're ambling off out of the way into the ditch. Learn all you can of holy things. The Bible says, I'm not sure I can quote it, or I can't start it. Proverbs 9:10 was the text. I'm still going over what we hit last time. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You knew that. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. You don't understand anything if you don't know something about the knowledge of the holy. As I said this morning in Sunday school, the issue is always what's right. And if you want to gain understanding, you need to get in the Bible and to be preached at and to be taught things that are right, things that are pure. You need to learn all you can of holy things. There are folks that look down their noses at some of the kids going off to Bible school to learn the Bible. That's one of the most valuable things you could ever learn. You're probably not going to make a lot of money at it, but I mean, to go away and to go to school. I went 5 years of college, and then went to Bible school because for the first time in my life, there was something I wanted to learn. I started in college as a pre-engineering student and was bored to death. And besides that, it was hard work and I wasn't even that interested. And then I went into physical therapy, so kind of a pre-med type thing, and I was mildly more interested, but still it didn't flip my switch. But boy, I got right with God, and I, you know, the degree from PBI doesn't count for diddly squat, believe me. But boy, I went to learn the Bible, and I got the chance to learn the Bible. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. You're to learn His precepts, it says, according to Psalm 119, 104. So we go on from there, and some of these may kind of flow together with something we've already said, but probably doesn't hurt to repeat anyway. Psalm 119, if you would. Some of these are going to be close together, but the first thing I'd like to say tonight about not wandering, Psalm 119, 130, is going to be the most obvious thing in the world to everybody here, probably. Verse 1, chapter 119, 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It, the entrance of thy words, or it, the light, it giveth understanding to the simple. Okay, the entrance of thy words giveth light. Don't get out of the Bible. Boy, that's genius, huh? But I mean, if you wander out of the way of understanding when you start messing around with missing the Bible, missing your Bible reading, looking, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. And notice down in verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Now, the inspiration of the Almighty giveth understanding. There's some that God gives you almost supernaturally, but you're going to have to get in His Word and have His words available to you if you want understanding. So don't get out of the Bible. Like I said, for a church like ours, it's a hobby horse. It's probably the most expected thing in the world that I could say. But man, brethren, it's easy to meander off that way. It's easy to wander. It is just easy to amble off. And I mean, you're busy. Things happen. You have other concerns. The world is always hollering in your ear about some other thing. It's just really easy to get off of it. Being in the Bible is a discipline. Reading your Bible every day, enough of it to matter. I'm not saying that's 90 pages, but not just a verse, not just Russian roulette, Bible roulette, you know. Oh, yeah, I like the verse. I'm talking about a systematic reading of it, more than three verses, right? I just want to say it's a discipline. And because it's a discipline, it becomes monotonous. It's true. Reading the Bible can be monotonous. Every day you read it, it's not exactly an adventure into, fun. It can be downright boring. Nobody ever said First Chronicles was not boring. Nobody ever said that there's some chapters in Ezekiel that are like, I'm going to fall asleep. But that's the way life is. Being in the Bible is a discipline. Sometimes we miss that. Expect God to give us some understanding via osmosis. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth understanding. I believe that with all my heart. But some of it you're going to have to work for. And the Lord's not going to give you a lot if you're not reading the Bible on a consistent basis. And so it's a discipline. It can be monotonous. It's not enjoyed. It's not enjoyable that much of the time. Sometimes you just read and you don't seem to get anything. But you know, all the time you're reading, the Lord is getting a chance to give you a piece of His mind, which is a good thing. But don't get out of the Bible. The devil and the flesh fight you at every turn. It's just easy to fall out of the habit. There will be 1,000 reasons for you not to read your Bible in the morning. There just will be. But don't forsake it. Don't get out of the Bible. He that wandereth from the way of understanding shall stay in the congregation of the dead. You're flirting with being dead spiritually. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about just dying, just falling out, fainting. Most wandering sheep make dumb decisions. Is that a revelation to anybody? Is it a revelation to anybody? The reason they make dumb decisions is because, in part, they're not in the Bible. It's just that way. I mean, one of the basic questions is, you come to my office for counsel or come to call me for counsel. Well, and there's got this stuff going on, blah, 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 and I don't get along with so-and-so and my wife and my husband and my kids and my grandmother and all this kind of stuff. Are you reading your Bible? You would be surprised how often somebody says, no. Or, well, not as much as I should. Well, do it as much as you should then. Right? Because you have wandered, you have meandered out of the way of understanding. You're flirting with disaster. You're flirting with spiritual death. Most marriages that go on the rocks usually involve at least somebody in it that aren't in their Bible. Most rebellious kids are not in their Bibles. And most church members that fail and falter, folks go off into addictions, they're not in their Bible. If you're not in your Bible, you cannot be reminded, you cannot be chided, you cannot be convicted by God. When you're in your Bible, the Lord is always speaking. He's always instructing. There's some things that you can block out and all those things, but at least you're hearing the voice of God saying you ought not do that and you should do this and you ought to think about this and not think about that. You're getting that all the time. As long as you're paying attention in the Word of God, you're getting that at all times. If you're not in your Bible, then God's not speaking. He that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. There's another thing that I can point out to you along those lines. Look, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 2. This will be very short. Proverbs chapter 2. And notice where it says down in verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. Okay, pray for it. Beg for it. Seek it. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. What you're seeking is God. I know the person of God, but you're also seeking wisdom and understanding from him. And there's just some things that you're not going to get if you're not hungry for it. I mean, why would God give you something if you're not even showing any interest? Pray for wisdom. Pray for understanding. Pray for God to speak. Beg God for more. Pray. Seek the Lord. Make it a quest where every day you sit down with your Bible, you desire to hear God say something substantial to you. Each time you come to church and hear a preaching, beg God to show you something substantial. Don't just presume you've heard it all already anyway. But I would say, number two, beg God for more. Pray. Don't wander. He that wandereth from the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Then there's this, Proverbs chapter 3. There's quite a few right here close together. I went through all of the passages with understand or understanding in them, and I was looking for ways that men wander from the way of understanding, and wondering at the same time why it is that, besides just why I think it is, why Christianity can be so dead today. Go to some churches, and the Christianity there, it's like flatlined. The singing is, and the preaching is worse, and you wonder, how does somebody sit here week in and week out? And a lot of times it's simply the fact that they have wandered, they have meandered, they have ambled off the way. They no longer have the slightest clue where the roadbed is, and so they're off in the ditch, dead, spiritually dead. In Proverbs chapter 3, I get another clue, get some help. A verse everybody here knows. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Okay, trust God for what? Well, for all things, but lean not unto thine own understanding. Oh, we're talking about understanding here. Trust God for understanding. Don't trust you, right? Trust God for understanding. Don't trust you. Man's fallen nature, we have a trust circuitry problem. I have a couple of electricians here. When the wiring went wrong with fallen man, man now trusts the wrong things and distrusts the wrong things. The tendency is, and this is even in a Christian, because the old man's still there, in a saved guy, our tendency is to have a bent towards distrusting God. He's out to ruin our fun. He wants our wallet. You know, he wants me to waste my life and waste my time. You would think that God is just lurking around like some weirdo. But you will trust man. You will trust you. You will trust strangers. You will let some dope head on the TV talk to you night after night on the news. The guy has makeup on, for goodness sake. And you'll trust him, but you'll distrust God. You need to look. Oh my goodness. There are people that trust Fauci. There are people that trust Biden. There are people that trust Fetterman. I say, what are you saying? Trust God. Trust God for understanding. The Lord giveth understanding. We have a bent to gamble on trusting man or trusting myself or trusting the world. And those are the wrong places to go. Whoever said we should entrust that even though you spend $30,000 a year for a college education, whoever told us that what we were being taught was right? It's kind of nuts, but we have a trust problem. You're called to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not, trust not unto thine own understanding. Trust God's understanding. Trust what God says is true. You're meandering. You're wandering. You're lollygagging into the ditch. You are flirting with death spiritually. You're hanging around the morgue. Why would anybody hang around the morgue? It's full of dead folks. Right, right. Go somewhere where you can find words with life in them. Understanding with life in it. Instead of going hanging around a morgue or a funeral home expecting to get something from folks that are dead. Trust God. There's this, Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs 5. He that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Don't wander out of the way of understanding. It's the most natural thing in the world. You tend to meander. You tend to amble around half blind and just feeling your way through. That's not the way to go through life. Proverbs chapter 5, and notice verse 1. Proverbs 5, 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom. Bow thine ear to mine understanding. There's an important thing in that passage. it says that you have to bow your ear to understanding. You're going to feel like sometimes listening to God is beneath you. You know why? Because you're a proud rascal. You know why? Because you think you're smart. You know why? Because that was the devil's failing. And you used to be his child. And you still have part of his nature. And so stay humble. Stay contrite. The problem is you think you're something left to yourself. You'd be surprised how some stupid people think they're the smartest people in the world. At least about some things. But you think you're smart. The devil did that. And that's what you sometimes do. That's the reason you get into trouble. He that wandereth from the way of understanding. See, the way of understanding, the Lord says, you're going to have to bow thine ear. It's going to be a condescension, or at least it's going to seem like a condescension to you to listen sometimes to what God says. Part of it sometimes is the messenger. Sometimes the messenger that comes along is a kid. Remember the little maid that witnessed to Naaman? Sometimes it's going to be somebody on your doorstep that, you know, what right does he have to come here and talk to me about this? But the point is, stay humble, stay contrite. With God's understanding, you always have to admit you're wrong if you have a contrary opinion. I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. If you're going to get what God wants you to have, if there's something in you that's saying, I know better than that. No, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're always wrong. If you have a contrary opinion to Him, you are always wrong. I don't care what your experience says. I don't care what your mama said. You are wrong if you disagree with God. It's just that way. Defer to Him. You're going to always have to defer to Him. You're going to have to put down your pride. Lower yourself to listen to Him. And He always requires you to go back to an ancient book written in parts thousands of years ago. In fact, all parts thousands of years ago. And He's going to tell you to trust the men that He used to put it together. He's going to call you back again and again to church to get yelled at and scolded and reproved and rebuked and admonished and exhorted, and you get tired of being yelled at. Because what am I, a kid? Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, you're God's kid. But the Lord always calls you back to that, and I'm going to get off into something else here in a minute, so I'll leave that for the moment. But to not do so is wandering. It's flirting with disaster. It's flirting with death. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. You need to remain in the way of understanding. Whatever takes you out of that way is going to get you in trouble. Look in Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. Now, a lot of this is really common stuff, but maybe you never thought about it from this angle. Proverbs chapter 9, going down to verse 6. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. So get away from foolish people. Forsake the foolish. The way of understanding is not in following foolish people's advice or actions or experience or education. That's not where you get understanding. Now, there's another verse I need you to see. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 11, where it says, "He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding." Now, here's a guy that's supposed to be plowing his field. Plowing is the first thing you do, right? You can't plant until you plow. You got to plow that field more than one time to get it ready for seed. But plowing is the first thing that you do. Okay, he says, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Okay, just in context, what's the vain person going to try to convince you to do? Not to plow. It's right there. Now, I'm a farm boy, so this I can relate to this. I'm telling you, folks, you need to forsake the foolish, because the foolish is always giving you advice where you're going to cut your own throat. A farmer that won't plow is going to starve to death. He's going to starve his kids. He's going to starve his livestock. You've got to plow. And so when you go through the Bible and learn what plowing's about, I mean, you got to plow that ground. It's hard work. Talk about monotonous. It is monotonous work. But you need to plow the ground of your heart, but forsake the foolish. People are cliquish. People have a herd mentality. We're called sheep in the Scriptures if we're saved. There are no more herd-oriented animals in the world than sheep. Blah, blah. Those are they're herd. They have a herd mentality, and you have a tendency as you want to go with the crowd. You want to go with your circle of friends. You want to go along to get along. I don't know what it is, but we know it in the old days, back way back, you know, back when we were still wearing six guns on our. Back in the old days, everybody was always talking about peer pressure. I haven't heard peer pressure for 20 years. But when I was growing up, everybody's worried about our peers and you know, who we were hanging out with. And so they at least had that sense. Forsake the foolish and live. Problem is, somebody at 7 or 8 wants to run with his circle of schoolmates or his neighbor friends. You want to run with them and you want to go along to get along. There'll be a leader in the crowd somewhere. If you're not the alpha dog, believe me, there'll be another alpha in there, and he's going to want to lead the show. And as often as not, he wants to lead into trouble. And that just goes on down the pike. When I got to a high school, I wanted to run with my teammates. In college, for the first time in my life, I had a roommate. That was a wonderful relationship, spiritually. Believe me. But that's the way we are. You're best friend forever. Sometimes you'll do just about anything to keep from breaking that friendship. Forsake the foolish and live. One of the reasons that folks wander out of the way of understanding is because they won't forsake the foolish. Sometimes family is bad. Now, you know, if you're underage, then, you know, you've got to stick with your family. But once you're grown up and you get saved and your family rejects the gospel and the truth, somewhere along the way, you have to draw the line and realize that sometimes grandma and grandpa and mother and father are fools spiritually, and you should stay away from them in as much as you can, at least as far as spiritual advice goes, as far as raising your children as Christians go, right? I mean, aren't they always trying to drag you into birthday parties and anniversaries and stuff on Sunday? During church? Isn't that a consistent theme almost all the time? I'll just answer my own question. Yes, it is. Me and Steve, we're on the same page here. Forsake the foolish. And I got news for you. Sometimes a church family, if you're in the wrong church, is the wrong. There's a lady right now, and she'll come once in a while. Once in a while. Not very often. And when she comes, she is just enthralled. Oh, I've missed this so much. It's so good here. Oh, the singing. Oh, the preaching. I've never heard preaching like that anywhere. And she'll be here a week, and then she'll go back to her old church because she's afraid to break away from the circle of dorky old women she hangs around with for friends. It's a Lutheran church. Forsake the foolish. And if you can't walk away from them, then you're flirting with disaster. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. He says, forsake the foolish and live. That foolishness is connected in the passage to understanding. The companion of fools shall be destroyed. Your friends can mess you up forever. Part of your problem is you want to please them more than you want to please God. It's just easier to stay friends than to break off and walk with the Lord. And it's a bad scene. It's a bad thing. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Bad friends can ruin you. So forsake the foolish. I kind of hit that kind of hard for a while, huh? And y'all are really quiet. Who y'all been hanging around with? Anyway. All right, there's this then. Look in Proverbs chapter 14. Now, what we've said so far is don't get out of the Bible. Pray to God for more wisdom and understanding. Trust God. Stay humble. Because you'll have to bow your ear to hear preaching and admonishment. Forsake the foolish. Get away from bad friends and, for that matter, bad family. It's hard to say. It's hard to enact. But sometimes, for some, family is your greatest stumbling stone. I'm not talking about trying to get somebody saved. I'm talking about you yielding to their wishes. And they don't care, they don't give a flip about your spiritual life. They would like to see you leave this place because they would never set foot here. So they want you gone too. Proverbs 14 and verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. All right? Slow down. In other words, don't be hasty. People make a lot of decisions in haste. And they're flirting with disaster. Right? Because he that wandereth out of the way of understanding, it says there in the verse 14:29, it says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Haste of spirit can lead you to make, not only grow angry, that's one thing. If you haste in anger, or if you haste to speak, or if you haste in making decisions, you're flirting with disaster. You're wandering, you're meandering, you're following the flesh. You're responding in the flesh. And that's meandering out of the way of understanding. Are we not supposed to control our spirits? Look here, let me quote you a couple verses. Also, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? Real quick to speak. Real quick to fire him off, man. There is more hope of a fool than of him. He is wandering out of the way of understanding. And he that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. All right? A couple more. Proverbs chapter 15. Okay, more than a couple. Proverbs 15. Go on down to verse 32. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Now look in 19:25. Smite a scorner and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand. He will understand knowledge. Reprove one that hath understanding, he will understand knowledge. Reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand more. See that? Say, what are you getting at? Okay. Treasure reproof. It says in 15:32, He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. You know what instruction is always paired with? Reproof. Just go through Proverbs next time you get a chance and look at all the times. In fact, there are several right here within on these two pages that I'm looking at. But reproof is always paired with instruction. There is no true instruction without a reproof. You did that wrong. Here's how you do it. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. So treasure reproof. Treasure correction. And you know, the Lord has given us something that's very convenient. It's not usually horrifically shameful. It doesn't put us in any kind of a public, under public scorn or anything. And I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but the world and most Christians hate preaching. And yet, one of the things the Lord set forth in preaching is that it's the power of God. The reason it's one of the power of God for Christians is because here you guys are here tonight. You know, there's 100 people here tonight. You all come in here. You came, we were here this morning for most of you. And you come in and Lord's given me something to say. So I stand up and I just go frothing off at the mouth. And it may be instructive. It may be encouraging. It may be about love. It may be about hope. It may be about charity. It may be about sin. It may be about hell. But you come in here with all of your bags full of your needs. We all have problems. And hopefully most of us walk in here without somebody saying, "Whoa, there's that guy's problem." We usually come in here with a bag of secret issues that the Lord's dealing with us every day. Whether it's laziness or a bad temper or just, you know, you name it. Faithlessness, all those things, right? Well, you come in here and you sit down and preacher gets up and preaches, opens a Bible, Holy Spirit has free course, and you get to hear what God says your problem is without anybody really else here knowing, right? He probably doesn't know the intricacies of her problems over there. Usually. I mean, if there's something just obvious and outward, okay, there's times that becomes public knowledge. But in the main, the fact that, you know, I struggle with thought life or patience or temper or, you know, any dozen other things is generally unknown to the other 100 people here. And so I come here and expose myself 3 times a week and let the Lord just hammer me. And nobody else knows I'm getting hammered. Because they're getting hammered themselves on their own thing, and I don't know what they're getting hammered about, but boy, the Lord is nailing me to the floor. You know what that is? That's great stuff. Because I'm not humiliated in front of you. We don't expose each other's sins because we don't know them. We're at least inward enough people where we're complicated enough where I just don't know all of Jeff's sins. I mean, I know several of them, and I could tell you about them, but I just don't know that many of them. But he knows them, and God deals with him as he comes in here on a regular basis. It's the same with all of us. Folks, that's an extraordinary system of keeping folks right, of reproving folks, of correcting folks. The Lord, it can only happen with a living God who has a living spirit, because you come in here and plop down and do-do-do, and before you know it, the Lord is right in your lap with his finger in your face, only nobody else knows it because they don't know your sins. But you get confronted every time you come. I just want to say, you need to treasure that, because it's one of the ways that you stay in the way of understanding. It keeps you from being dead spiritually. Preaching is a great thing. Whether you like the preacher or not, it's a great thing because you are exposed on a regular basis. And really, nobody else here knows it because they're dealing with their own stuff. Right? I like that. Treasure reproof. Treasure correction. Look in Proverbs 17. I'm going to wrap this up real quick. Proverbs 17, and notice down in verse 24. Wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. One word, focus. Focus on what you're supposed to be doing. The Bible says there that problem with most folks is that their eyes are out, they're out to the end of the earth. They're always thinking about something else that's not here. What will happen if the Democrats get back in? What will happen if? What won't happen? What will happen if this happens? And what will happen if that happens? And what will China think? And what will and what? And you can't focus on what you're supposed to be doing because you're so busy messing around with stuff out there that you can't affect anyway. Focus. 17:24. Wisdom is before him that hath understanding. I mean, what you're supposed to be doing should be before your very eyes. You should be attending to that instead of worrying about global problems. I mean, what foolishness to worry about whether in China in the next 10 years it's going to warm up a quarter of a degree. And what those ramifications might be. Are you a moron? It's stupid. It's completely stupid to walk around town like a ninny worrying about whether turkeys for Thanksgiving are being properly treated before they're killed. The only reason we have turkeys is to eat them. To eat them, they must be hatched, reared, killed, plucked, gutted, and cooked. There's only so much humaneness you can insert into that process. And for somebody to make a big deal of that or things like that is stupid. Oh, we laugh every day at this goofy internet, what would we call it? A little neighborhood thing where, you know, what is it called? I'm drawing a blank. Yeah, next door, you know, where, you know, you get an email and somebody's wondering what kind of poop this is. I'm serious. Go in their backyard and they find a pile of poop. Does anybody know what animal does this kind of poop? And there's just this endless stream of nyah. And then somebody will say something somewhat controversial. And they start just going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. It's a riot every single day. How do you keep your mind on your business? I mean, some of those folks will post something online, and then this is as close to social media as I get, but it's just funny to watch. It's email. And so I'll get my email, and there's this next door thing that comes in, and somebody is, oh, what is it? We're just so worried about, you know, this, that, or the other. And somebody jumps on them, you know, just kind of, oh, just shut up, you know, stupid, or something like that. And then there are all these people that you know, come to their aid and, you know, we should be nicer on here. Da-da-da-da. Well, the way to do this is just stay off of it. And it's just a riot, but they get so involved. There are sometimes strings of conversations that just go on and on and on, and they never go away. They're still arguing about stuff that happened last week. I say, what are you saying? I don't know. Focus! No, that stuff matters. It's so stupid. And then you take it, you know, exponentially on out. Then it's the Facebook thing and the Twitter thing. That's all they do. There are people that think that tweeting is an integral part of life. How weird does that sound? Tweeting is an integral part of life. I praise God, I have never tweeted. Focus, man. There are things that matter in life, and there's these things that folks just fiddle-faddle with, and you are meandering, you're wandering out of the way of understanding. They don't have any, and they're not going to get any because they can't be reproved. But focus. Okay? I have one last thing. Ephesians chapter 4, the only New Testament reference for this. Ephesians chapter 4. And go down to verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, talking about a saved Ephesians, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. Sounds like somebody wandered, right? Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. And they may be, he's talking about lost folks there, but plainly he's also admonishing the Ephesian Christians not to walk as other Gentiles walk. So a Christian can walk like that. So he says at the end of the verse of 17, they walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. Okay? Don't kid yourself. Where the world will lead you is into vanity. Once again, the environmental wackos, the anti-leather, anti-egg, you know, vegan crowd, it's nuts. It's off the charts, stupid. The reason there are a bunch of 10-year-olds now contemplating gender transformation is vanity. They've been led there by the generations before them, their parents and their parents' parents, who are morons. And they've been followed off. They follow their own minds and lusts off into vanity. They walk in the vanity of their mind, and so their understanding is darkened. They have no conscience. They have no consciousness of conviction or of guilt, and they're not going to get any if they don't repent. So you're now dealing with a generation of people that are going to be sealed off with reprobate minds that can't be recovered because they have wandered so far from the way of understanding. That ought not be any of us. The man that wandereth from the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. There are, I guess, how many points was that from last week? 7? So there are 16 pretty sound points on how not to wander out of the way of understanding. Let's bow our heads and pray.